You're listening to RTE Lyric Live from the Dublin International Piano Competition.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Paul Herriot and welcome to a very special RTE Lyric Live coming to you from the National Concert Hall here in Dublin as we prepare for the finals of the Dublin International Piano Competition 2025 and anticipate a very hotly contested final with lots of exciting performances to come. Well, three finalists this evening compete in the competition and will perform a concerto of their own choice. And that will be, of course, with the National Symphony Orchestra this evening under the baton of Jonas Alber. Well, I'm delighted to say that before the actual performances begin, we've been joined by a very close associate and friend of RTE Lyric FM, Fineen Collins, who joins me this evening in a new capacity as artistic director of this year's festival. Fineen, welcome. Welcome to RTE Lyric Live. It's
Thank
lovely
you.
To see you again. And of course, in this new position, and I really can't think of anyone within our musical community who is more balanced at this time to appreciate almost every aspect of what has been happening this week and what's going to happen tonight. But actually thinking of you and your great understanding of this, it's interesting to go right back to the beginning, or near to the beginning of your career at any rate, when on such an occasion as this, and I'm talking about the Clara Haskell competition some years ago now, I think it was 1999, the year that we started on Lyric, we're both still here. Mm-hmm. But going back to that, something like this must bring you back there every time.
It certainly does, and it reminds me of the value of piano competitions, because the Clara Haskell competition in Switzerland was hugely beneficial to my career, and it was a really formative experience for me. I was 22 at the time and lots to learn, and the success came at a good time in my career and really helped me to bring my career up to a new level. And it's true that now as a jury member, it's great to have had the experience of being a competitor. And I wasn't a competitor only in the Clara Haskell. I had other experiences before that where I wasn't as successful. And that experience too of being eliminated in an earlier round, I know how that feels too. So it does mean that I'm sensitive to the feelings of the competitors at every stage of the competition, because some wonderful, wonderful pianists have been eliminated in the earlier rounds, and that's just how it goes. You know, we have to choose certain people to advance to the various rounds. We've got three finalists, but we started last Friday with 25 pianists from all around the world. Incredible standard. And so that's how it goes, and we're left now with three. But it does bring me back to the old days.
It's an important point that you make there, Fineen. Of course, you tend to think of a competition in competitive terms, but there's so much more to it than that. And really, by the time these young pianists get to this stage, they've already achieved something. So there is a great deal more that we might not all be aware of to gain from just being part of this experience.
Absolutely. And the great diversity of experience that they bring, as well as competitors. I mean, tonight we're going to hear an 18-year-old from Korea and a 28-year-old from Canada. So, a vastly different experience that they bring. One is just on the edge of adulthood, if you like, and very, very young, but enormously talented. And the other has already got a pretty developed career as a performer and has got two young children. You know, so it just shows the diversity of pianism and of humanity that can be brought together in a competition which has as its age limit 18 to 30. You know, one would think that it would be quite narrow, but actually it's very, very wide.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. There's something about being a musician. I was going to say today. I don't mean today, actually. I think ever since we've worked on Lyric, or I've had the opportunity to work with musicians, classical musicians in particular, but any musician, I suppose. And I've always thought there's something very similar between a musician and an athlete. But there is one huge difference, that for an athlete, of course, the competition is all about winning. Here we have something that's very subjective, much less easy to judge.
It's very different and it's very subjective. And if you had a different jury, you would undoubtedly have a different result. Possibly not a different first prize, maybe, but maybe a different second and third prizes, or you would have different finalists, quite likely. It is, you know, it's not like a tennis match where it's either in or out. One person on the jury will respond favourably to a certain interpretation of a Beethoven sonata, for example, and somebody else will say, no, I thought it was, you know, there was too much pedal, or it was too fast, or it didn't speak to me. It's very subjective. And we always have to remind the competitors of this too, that they mustn't take it too personally if they're not selected for the next round, that they just didn't on this occasion communicate to us as humans. And we all bring as jury members our own heritage. You know, we come from all different parts of the world. We have been trained in different schools of piano playing. We have different sensibilities. We bring all of that to our judging, and we vote according to our musical instincts. And so it's very subjective. And of course, the other big difference between piano music competitions and the sporting world is that sports athletes operate pretty much entirely and exclusively throughout their careers in a competitive environment. Whereas we, in my view, we as musicians, we go through the competitive element young in our careers, and if we're lucky enough to be successful, we can then move beyond that into the performance world, where we don't have to worry about winning or losing, and we play to our audiences, and it's not at all, you know, there's no jury, no prizes. Whereas I often think about sporting athletes, they never get beyond that. They're always in the who won, who got second, who got third, who didn't do well. Whereas we go through the hoop of competitions, and then we're out the other end, if you like, where we're performing from our hearts.
It's interesting, you know, I get the impression today that it's very necessary for young musicians to accept that in the early stage they're going to have to be psychologically strong enough to be able to cope with that competition.
Yes, it's psychologically demanding and it's physically demanding, and perhaps people of that age are best positioned in a way to cope with that, because, you know, humans are at the height of their mental powers. You know, I have read, you know, in their early 20s, that's the best age to memorize, to have a really fit brain, fit muscles, fit bodies. You know, these are young athletes who work very, very hard. These pianists are practicing 7-8 hours a day. And in fact, often you hear that they practice more than that, which is not to be encouraged, because they can over-practice and damage themselves. They need to also live and breathe and read about the music and inspire themselves from other sources. But you do need to be physically resilient, physically strong, psychologically resilient. You've got to be well prepared too, because there's a lot of repertoire that they have to get through in a competition of this nature. We've had a chamber music element for the first time in the competition, where they've had to play piano quintets with the string quartet in the semi-final. Each of the 8 semi-finalists played a piano quintet with the contempo quartet from Galway, which was again a very interesting test of another element of their music making, a collaborative element. So they really need to be prepared, focused, and in a very strong position medically, if you like. They need to be really ready for this experience.
You know, from our position working at Lyric, we very often feel like a fly in the wall. You get to see amazing things if you're doing this job. And I'm often fascinated to see how people cope with it. And I remember on one occasion, it particularly stands out, actually, everyone is so different. But I remember once Anne Fuller, a co-founder of this competition, right from the very beginning, standing beside a winner some years ago. And I'm certainly not going to say who it was or anything like that. But nevertheless, there she was with a young victor at the moment of triumph. And they'd just come off the stage. And I just happened to be standing there. And she turned to the winner at one stage and she said, "Are you happy?" And it stuck with me all these years, because actually it was very difficult to tell.
Right.
This was a very inscrutable kind of concentration that she was kind of wanting to know, I think. And that feeling, she was saying just exactly what I felt.
Yes.
It's amazing how some people really do wear their heart in their sleeves, and others, once the performance finished, very inscrutable. You've no idea.
It's true. And the level of emotional attachment and emotional communication that we've seen in the competition is interesting. Some musicians are more detached emotionally from their music, and others are wearing their hearts on their sleeves and they're playing to the gallery. You know, there's a huge variety of emotional attachment to the music which they perform.
You know, Fineann, we've known you for many years and as a friend, really. But nevertheless, I would say, for example, you're one of the musicians, pianist, who I would say carries their gift very lightly. You don't seem to carry a lot of baggage off the stage with you, or at least not when I've known you. Is that something that you've learnt to negotiate with yourself and to sort of say to yourself, "Well, look, the performance is finished now, and there has to be some kind of balance"?
Yeah, I think I've always been somebody who loves performing, and I've always loved getting up in front of an audience. I remember somebody saying that when I walk on, it's like I walk on with the energy, and I say, "Oh, look, there's a piano. Let's play it." You know, it's sort of, I do have this sort of joy, I suppose, in performing, and I try to enjoy it, and I try to bring positive energy. And of course, you know, there's a huge amount of work and preparation and tension and nerves all going on at the same time in your brain. But I've worked over the years on dealing with that, and on dealing with the tension and with the stress of having to play difficult music under difficult circumstances.
Well, talking about a different kind of stress, Fanine, and that's the stress, of course, of this role now. That carries certainly stress with it. But I'm very interested to know how you come about a jury. You know, very often the juries appear to us. We never really think of that process. I'd imagine that's one of the main priorities.
Yeah, I think the jury is a very important element in the competition, of course, because you want jury members who will be fair and who'll listen with interest and with sympathy and with total impartiality to the performers, and who you respect and who know what it's like to get up in front of an audience, who are seasoned performers themselves. So I've been fortunate with my jury. They're wonderful pianists and musicians in their own right. I have been unfortunate in the sense that two of my jury that I had selected had to withdraw 1-2 weeks before the competition started. Anne-Marie McDermott, fantastic American pianist, had to withdraw for personal reasons. And then just the day before the competition started, Denis Varion, whom I had engaged, who is a fantastic Hungarian pianist, he got ill, couldn't travel. Very fortunate that in the first instance, Hugh Tinney, well known to lyric audiences, wonderful Irish pianist and former jury member indeed in the competition many years ago, was able to join the jury. And all the more fortunate that on the day before the competition started, Mariana Przewalskaya, who is a new arrival in Dublin, who's on the faculty in TU Dublin Conservatoire in Grange Gorman, formerly DIT. She is a pianist of Russian-Moldovan extraction, although she's a Spanish citizen. She's studied in America. She's a very international pianist. And she was able to rearrange her teaching schedule in Dublin so that she could join the jury. And I was really relieved at that because I didn't want to lose a jury member. I think 7 is a very good number, but anything fewer than 7 would be very few. And they have the other jury members. I should briefly perhaps touch on Michel Berhoff, incredibly legendary French pianist who's got an incredible career behind him, recording career, performance career, judging career. Piers Lane, who is Australian-British pianist, again, big performing career behind him, and great experience at the Sydney competition. The Japanese pianist Noriko Ogawa, who is also an old friend, as it happens, and a terrifically experienced pianist. And Katie McGuinness from Dublin, who is a former pianist, student of John O'Connor, like myself, but now the chief artistic officer of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra in the States. So she's moved into arts administration. And it's always nice to have one person on the jury who comes from a slightly outside the performance side of things, if you like.
I was going to say, do you, when you're choosing a jury, are you able to, are you afforded the sort of parameters and the space to think of them in terms of balance, you might say?
Well, yeah, it's important to have balance. It's important, first of all, to have gender balance, to have a balance of ages, to have a balance of nationalities, and also, yeah, a balance of backgrounds and of sensibilities. And I think having one person who's not a full-time musician but comes, as I say, with a slightly outside perspective, because let's face it, artistic administrators of orchestras are making big artistic choices every day of the week. They're booking artists, they're making choices on artists to book. So their choices and their views are highly interesting as well to us. So it's been a terrific jury. I'd like to thank them, and they've been wonderful, wonderfully sensitive and wonderfully supportive to me too, because it's my first time as artistic director of the competition as chairman of the jury. As I said, particularly Piers Lane and Noriko Ogawa have both got very good experience on juries of other competitions, which has been very useful for me, because there have been times in the past few months where I've needed advice on certain issues and they've been very supportive.
And you've lifted the reins, of course, from John O'Connor, Dr. John O'Connor, who you have worked with, trained with, who know, you know him so well. Did he have any advice for you in particular, or just leave you to it?
He left me very much to it. He's somebody who doesn't like to interfere once he leaves the stage, and that is something I appreciate enormously. Of course, I learned a lot from him. He was very generous in inviting me on the jury in both 2018 and 2022, so I was able to see what it was like to be a jury member of this competition and to watch him as chair. So that one learns a lot from simply observing. And I've also recently chaired the jury of the Clara Haskell competition in Switzerland, the competition which, as you mentioned earlier, I won myself back in 1999. So I bring my own experiences and my own ideas, I suppose. I didn't change a huge amount of John's artistic vision for the competition. I brought in a few new things, but of course I kept a lot of the things that were already happening, such as the commissioning of new works, which of course RTE Lyric FM sponsors. We commissioned four works from Irish composers, and it's worth mentioning them perhaps here: David Coonan, Judith Ring, Roger Doyle, and Eilish Ní Rian. And I moved the commissioned work from the semi-final to the quarter-final, which meant that Irish composers were performed by 25 young pianists, which was terrific. And then I brought in the chamber music element to the semi-final. I also added one rule that competitors still had free choice of what they wanted to play in the competition, but I did stipulate that they should play a work from a list given of works by Beethoven. I think Beethoven is an incredibly good test of a young musician, that if you really want to judge a young musician, you listen to them playing a work by Beethoven. And secondly, it was a tribute to John himself, because of course John is so inextricably linked with the work of Beethoven, having recorded so much of his music. I wanted to make that connection, and it has been very, very interesting. And tonight we'll also announce the winner of the Beethoven Prize for the best performance in the jury's opinion of a piece by Beethoven. But I have very much enjoyed hearing Beethoven throughout the competition, and it's very grounding. And I really do think it's a litmus test of a pianist's sensibilities, how they shape a phrase, how they construct the sonata, how they respond to Beethoven's writing, whether it be early Beethoven or late Beethoven. It has all been very, very interesting.
All competitions, Fanine, I imagine, have their own colour, their own shade, their own characteristics. One of the things that I always notice about this competition, particularly when the plaudits are being handed out at the end and thank yous are being made and so on, is the fact that it's very much bedded within the musical community and almost dependent in some ways in the goodwill of hosts and so on. There's a tremendous background of people who've been involved with that for years and who still reach out the hand of hospitality, extend the hand of hospitality to the young musicians, indeed to anyone involved with this competition.
Yes, the competition has been founded on a bedrock of incredible volunteerism, and we have a wonderful group of people who volunteer at the competition and who, some of them host the competitors in their houses very generously. Others allow competitors to practice on their pianos. Others come in. We spent a week at the Royal Irish Academy of Music in their wonderful new facility and fantastic new white recital hall. And there we had a wonderful team of volunteers who came along, who minded the doors to make sure nobody went in to disturb proceedings, who escorted the competitors from the door to their warm-up room onto stage, people who announced, who turned pages. We've had any number of people looking after the jury. All of this in a voluntary capacity. We've got people here at the National Concert Hall looking after our three finalists, making sure they have everything they need for these crucial days in their lives. And really, the competition couldn't do it without them. Also, it must be said that Adrienne Carolyn herself, the executive director of the competition, herself started off as a volunteer with the competition many years ago, and therefore knows the competition inside out, because she's worked working at the rostering of the piano schedules, the practicing, the drivers, and she's worked her way up to running the competition together with myself, and we work very well together. And it just shows how important these volunteer roles are and how appreciated they are.
So it's a very well manned labyrinth. Fanine, we know that you're extremely busy today, and really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us like this and to lend such insight. But there is one thing I'd just like to ask you before you go. As we come to the climax of this competition, we're very aware, obviously, of the finalists and so on. But I'm thinking in the widest possible sense, as the young pianists, all of the pianists involved, leave this year's competition, what do you hope they'll have gained?
Well, I hope they'll have had a positive experience, and even if they've been eliminated, that they still will remember the competition in a positive light. I spoke to almost all of the competitors who were eliminated in the quarterfinals, and many of them gave very, very positive feedback that they'd had a very positive time, that they felt very well looked after by our, as I mentioned, by our team of volunteers. And really, I want them to feel nurtured and to feel appreciated and to feel valued, even if, as I say, they don't pass into the semi-final or final. And I hope that we have achieved that. I want them to feel, yes, worthwhile and valued. And really, every decision that I have made as artistic director since I've come in 2 years ago, preparing for this very, very busy week, every decision I've made, I've tried to put the competitors themselves at the centre of that decision. What is best for them? You know, because they are the without them, the competition is nothing, and they are the. We rely on this, on the standard and on the resilience and on the talent of our competitors for the high level of the competition, and it has been an extraordinarily high level this year. So really, we've put them at the centre of it. We want them to have a positive experience. We've certainly had wonderful weather all week in Dublin, and I think that they will remember the competition fondly, and that I think they'll remember most of all the warm, a hospitable welcome that they've received from their host family, but also from the competition administration itself.
Fionnuala, the choice is always important for any pianist, particularly if you're a finalist in a competition like this. How does that come about?
Well, we allow the competitors really free rein on all their repertoire. As I mentioned, you know, there are certain things they have to play, like the commissioned work, and they have to play a Beethoven piece in the earlier rounds. But for the concertos, we gave a list of concertos, which is quite a long list. It has some Mozart, Beethoven, it has the great romantic concertos up until Bartok. And then they choose. And so we could have been listening to the same concerto three times this evening. luckily, we've been spared that. We do have to listen to Prokofiev's second concerto twice, which is a really unique experience, I think, because it's not a concerto that is often performed. Prokofiev's third concerto, and I suppose also his first concerto, are more popular.
And it's chosen twice this year.
And it has been chosen, unusually, it has been chosen by two of our finalists, and that's why we put them first and third this evening in performance order. It's a very demanding work, the second Prokofiev concerto, physically and technically, and also to bring across the character of it, and very demanding for the orchestra too. Loads to listen to. And then in the middle, we have a very well-known concerto, the Rachmaninoff No. 2, which, of course, all your listeners will know, full of the great big romantic tunes and Rachmaninoff's great sweeping melodies and orchestral writing. Lots for the orchestra to do in both works tonight. But, of course, all eyes will be on the pianists and how they get through their task.
Absolutely. Fionnuala, as I say, thank you so much for taking some valuable time out to talk to us, and all very best wishes for the finals coming up that we're about to enjoy and for the many great competitions that are to come.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul, and thank you to Lyric for all the support you've given us, our media partners, not only in sponsoring the commissioned works, but in broadcasting tonight's final. And we're thrilled to work with you on all of this. And we're very excited about the night ahead and these fantastic three pianists who we're about to hear.